From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we welcome Laura Kendall, director of the Winter Center. That's Millersville University's Visual and Performing Arts Center on their main campus. As the school year comes to a close, Laura and I chatted about her experience during this Performing Arts Center's first year.
It's been so much fun to have the students in the building interacting with the faculty, interacting with the theater department, art and design department, music, you know, all of this creative energy that has been in this building has been so much fun. So that, I knew that would happen, but I didn't quite know it would happen on that level. And it continues to grow.
Coming up, a chat with Laura Kendall from Millersville University. And we take another modern look at classic albums with John Modern. This month, John shares his thoughts about White Light, White Heat, the 1968 album by the Velvet Underground. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. On Tuesday, May 21st, Modern Art welcomes our buddies in the Secondhand Suits for the third listening room concert in this new space on Chestnut Street in a little over a month. The Suits bring an energetic mix of folk, jazz, blues, and rock and put on an outstanding live show. And this one starts at 7 p.m. with a suggested donation of $10 to $15. Modern Art is located at 529 West Chestnut Street in Lancaster. That's directly across from the Chestnut Hill Cafe. It's the Secondhand Suits at Modern Art, Tuesday, May 21st. On Friday, May 24th, I'll be playing at the Lancaster Dispensing Company with my good friends Mark DeRose and the Dreadnought Brigade. Percussionist Aaron Gagne and I will start the show at 9:30 with a special opening set, and after that we'll join the rest of the band, Mark DeRose and Stephen Courtney, for a full night of music celebrating the beginning of Memorial Day weekend and the upcoming summer season. It's Mark DeRose and the Dreadnought Brigade, Friday night, May 24th, at the Lancaster Dispensing Company. And next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair presents the Great PA Flavor Fest. It's an annual event that welcomes 20 wineries who will be offering free samples of their most popular vintages. Food and craft vendors will be set up throughout the park with handmade goods and treats, and live music will provide the soundtrack for the weekend on several stages throughout the festival. This year's lineup includes Wood Stove House contributor Mike McMonagle, The Pig Merchants, Indian Summer Jars, Gone to Seed, Mark DeRose and the Dreadnought Brigade, Josh Albright and Adam Blessing. And the best part, it's all free. Free parking, free admission, and free wine sampling. It's Flavor Fest, Saturday, May 25th and Sunday, May 26th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. The Ren Fair is located just off the Pennsylvania Turnpike at the Lancaster-Lebanon exit. It's time to take a modern look at classic albums with John Modern, professor of religious studies at Franklin and Marshall College, and the co-host of Solid Side Vinyl on WFNM 89.1 here in Lancaster. This month, it's the 1968 album White Light, White Heat by the Velvet Underground. We were also joined by John's Solid Side Vinyl co-host, Jeremy Seedorf. And a warning to parents of small children, while nothing graphic is discussed, the following segment acknowledges the existence of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and their use in the late 1960s New York art scene. Here's John Modern on White Light, White Heat and the Velvet Underground.
So the big thing about the Velvet Underground you hear about is the fact that they were a commercial failure in their own time, right?
Which is from 67 to...
60. Well, the first album came out in 67, but they were Andy Warhol's house band at the factory and kind of went on tour for his exploding plastic inevitable sort of art, you know, music, sort of sound, music light show that he used to do in the mid-60s. And so that's kind of where they got their start.
Here's Solid Side Vinyl co-host Jeremy Seedorf.
But they were the antithesis, right, of what was going on. I mean, flower power is going on, and the Beatles, Led Zeppelin are starting, and all these sort of bands that you might associate with some type of psychedelic at times or movement, and Velvet Underground kind of were the 180 to this, right? I mean, they were against the grain.
Is it safe to say that they were defining, what, the New York art scene?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're coming out, you know, they're sort of coming out from the sort of East Village, New York, avant-garde art, but also John Cale being involved in the sort of avant-garde composition, classical music with Lamont Young and doing this kind of weird electronic drone music, this kind of thing that it was almost defined as sort of anti-audience, right? It was not there to please the audience. It was art for art's sake. And I think John Cale came from that. And I think Lou Reed, you know, he is somebody who comes to the band through Warhol, but he's coming out from a very literary sensibility. You know, in post-Velvet Underground, I think people realize what a marvelous sort of writer Lou Reed is, you know, a sort of wordsmith. He wants to tell a different kind of story. He wants to tell an American story. And he always sort of saw himself as a kind of, almost the kind of classic American romantic, but spun so weirdly in that kind of New York, you know.
Grit.
Grit. You know, not pot or LSD. We're talking amphetamines. We're talking, you know, let's take drugs for 6 days straight and not sleep, right, and do our thing.
Why is White Light, White Heat important?
Well, I think for the time, we were just saying 1968, it comes at this moment where it's very much defining itself against the grain. But I think for me, at least, it's all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And more importantly, the relationships between all those three things, right? It's not just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll together, right? And in a lot of ways, this album, I mean, the lyrics, as you'll hear, you know, this is all about drug use. It's all about, you know, sexual activity of all different sorts and all different kinds. And it's about the kind of soundtrack for how these two things go together. And in every song, it just builds, you know, with that kind of narrative of this dark New York indulgence. And I think they do it so well, where they are coming at it, again, from these different kinds of perspectives. And you also have Lou Reed at this time listening to a lot of Ornette Coleman and listening to free jazz and listening to the possibilities of musicianship and music that doesn't necessarily follow kind of linear 4/4 beats, but just goes off, right? And doesn't even have a kind of repeatability to it. And so Lou Reed and John Cale both were very much into feedback and feedback loops in this album, and use feedback loops to their advantage, where they would just build these sort of soundscapes in the studio. And they recorded this album in 2 days. 2 days. That's amazing. The first song, White Light, White Heat, you know, being a peon to amphetamines, right? Let's take amphetamines. White Light, White Heat. It's messing up my mind, you know, make me go blind. He's like encouraging people to take speed. And The Gift is the second song, which is a short story written by Lou Reed about a guy named Waldo Jeffers, whose girlfriend goes off to college or moves away. And he misses her, and he imagines, you know, how happy she'll be to see him. So he has this idea of putting himself in a box and sending himself through the post office to see her. And so he sends himself to her, and this is told over like 6 minutes with this kind of dirge in the background. One channel, the voice of John Cale telling the story, and the other side, the music. And it ends up with, you know, Waldo Jeffers being in the box, delivered to his girlfriend's apartment, and she taking some scissors and opening the box, and in doing so, splits open his head with the scissors, and it just ends right there. This darkness, this kind of love gone bad, you know, by way of media. Oh, so good, so good.
Can't get a grip. They both stood still, breathing heavily. "Why don't you get a scissor?" said she. Marsha ran to the kitchen, but all she could find was a little sewing scissor. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cutter in her hand. "This is the best I could find," she told her friend. "Here, you do it. I'm gonna die." She sank into a large fluffy couch and exhaled noisily. Sheila tried to make a slit between the masking tape and the end of the cardboard flap. The blade
Then we come Lady Godiva's Operation, which is also a collaboration where you have Lou Reed and John Cale going back and forth doing different voices and the song that's kind of about Lady Godiva, but it's about an operation. You're not quite sure what the operation's about. It's unclear the gender of anybody involved in this kind of thing, and it ends also poorly with a line to the effect that somehow the patient dies on the operating table after some sort of weird, potentially sex-changey operation. We don't know. It's not very unclear, but again, very evocative.
Well, that's something that also I think that Velvet Underground sort of defines them as sort of the androgynous nature. I mean, the drummer's name is
Mo Tucker.
Mo Tucker, mm-hmm. Who is very masculine, very very short hair, and at times Lou Reed, and I think especially some of the scene that was around them was this very androgynous. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas as you know, and as you were talking about, you know, the you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll being very much a part of it, but the sex being with whom, wherever. I mean, your male, female was, you know, not as important.
Lady Godiva dressed so demurely, that's the head of another curly-haired boy. Just another toy. Sit with silence, she weeps sincerely, saying words that have oh so clearly been said so long ago.
What is a song that has the most impact for you on this record?
I think Sister Ray. This is the last song on side two. It is 17 minutes long. And it is a song that, again, has this, you know, similar kind of, you know, feedback thing going on. And Lou Reed talks about this song as almost a kind of aggressive competition between the band members, like who could play the loudest. Who could play over one another and drown each other out with how loud they could play. And so the song, you know, it's about, I don't know what it's about. Basically, it seems like the narrator is walking into a scene where there are a lot of drag queens and, again, ambiguous sexual figures going on. There's oral sex going on, there's drug use, and there's the mantra, you know, I'm looking for my main line, I couldn't hit it sideways. You know, this idea of somebody trying to shoot up heroin amidst this kind of scene with sailors and drag queens and prostitutes and, you know, who knows what's going on. But this is a song that sort of brings you in. And if you're listening right now, I want you to go right now to your Google and look up Sister Ray. You find it on YouTube, Spotify, whatever you use. Turn it up, play it, turn it up, put your headphones on, and just let it take you. Because it's one of those songs, I think, that is defining of the possibilities of music that will come later in the next 10, 15 years. And it's, for example, I just found this out today. I'm looking around the web where I didn't realize the Buzzcocks, a seminal punk band in the 1970s, basically got together through a kind of ad about, you know, trying to get musicians to do a cover of Sister Ray. And they all kind of answered the ad, and they later became the Buzzcocks.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah, so there's that kind of thing that goes on. But Sister Ray, for me, is the defining song on this album.
That's a modern look at classic albums with John Modern and Jeremy Seedorf talking about White Light, White Heat by the Velvet Underground. John is a professor of religious studies at Franklin and Marshall College and the co-host of Solid Side Vinyl, along with Jeremy Seedorf on WFNM 89.1. During the school year, you can sit back and relax with Solid Side Vinyl every Thursday night from 9 to 11 p.m. at 89.1 on your FM dial. The show will be on summer hiatus until the fall 2013 semester. Two years ago, Millersville University opened the Ware Center, their downtown Lancaster Visual and Performing Arts Center. Last year, at the beginning of the 2012-2013 school year, the university opened its main campus visual and performing arts hub called the Winter Center. Between these two sister spaces, Millersville University has provided an overwhelming amount of arts activities and events for not only their student body, but for the entire Lancaster community. If you've heard any of our monthly Millersville Arts updates on this program, you'll know that month in and month out, the MU Arts program produces events that support and showcase student work, local and regional artists, and award-winning national and even global performers. The work that the university is doing with the arts is a true gift to Lancaster County. As the 2012-2013 school year comes to a close, I had a chance to sit down with Laura Kendall, the director of the Winter Center, for a little bit of the history around the new space and her experience moving to Lancaster and working with the students and faculty in the brand new Visual and Performing Arts Center. It's Laura Kendall on Around the Wood Stove.
This building, the Winter Center, was part of a long-term strategic plan.
Okay.
So it had been in the works maybe 10, 15 years.
Wow.
Yes, just raising money, figuring out, you know, what the need was. Obviously, our music department was busting at the seams. They needed a place to all be together. They were apparently, you know, performing and doing classes all over campus in every little nook and cranny that they could. So the faculty weren't even all in together in the same place. So the idea was, let's move the faculty all together. Let's create, let's renovate the light. We need to renovate the light auditorium. It's in desperate need of an upgrade, needed a facelift. So, but let's not just stop there. Yeah. Let's kind of continue on and see what we need. So they built a recording studio in this building, a beautiful concert hall, very intimate space. They looked at the Ware Center for acoustic ideas. So it's got, you know, just lovely acoustics, just like Steinman Hall. They needed a recital hall and rehearsal space for all of the ensembles. And then we have this great Yamaha piano lab, which has 40 Clavinovas, electronic pianos that all have Mac Minis attached to them. So you can do composing on these instruments. You can do Pro Tools editing. So if you are a composer, singer-songwriter, want to learn in our music business and technology classrooms, you know, track, we can do it all there. So there's tons of technology in this building. So this was all being planned. And then this opportunity comes up in downtown Lancaster. Yeah. And so I think that was brilliant from the standpoint of, you know, Dr. Francine McNary and Roger Brzezewski and the team, the cabinet really saw this as an opportunity to have a presence downtown, to be able to extend performances downtown, but not only that, to really be part of the community. And as you know, from being at the Ware Center, there's incredible amounts of energy, artistic energy and creative energy in this town, and people needed an outlet for it.
Yeah.
And the Ware Center became that, you know, a place for people who had an idea of work that they wanted to show, or people that they, you know, musicians and people that they wanted to bring in. Harvey's been brilliant about connecting the two and making that space available and open, as well as bringing in his own, you know, cabaret series, film series. There's something going on every single night. It's always a beehive of activity. And so it's so much fun. And we're sort of now at that point where tickets are selling out there, you know, 300 seats, 350 seats are, you know, they're a hot ticket to get. So we've got this great balance between this really community face for Lancaster, very community oriented, with occasional visiting artists and things going on down there, with another bookend on campus that's more of an academic building. It's much more centered around student performances and faculty performances, but we also are bringing in artists again on campus. So there's this really great cohesive synergy between the two.
You have two auditoriums in this building, right? Or more?
We have two performance spaces.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have Claire Performance Hall, which is the old light auditorium. It's still at 650 seats. That's okay. Our biggest hall. And then we have Beamsdorfer Concert Hall, which is 290, completely tunable room.
Interesting.
So we have these incredible banners that will raise and lower to any degree to change the and muffle the sound if we want to dampen the sound, or to have it be a real live sound.
Oh, that's wild.
It's cool. It's yeah. very cool.
I've been in both.
Yeah.
And I was thinking there were only two. And that, yeah, that's small, the smaller space at the front of the building when you first come in to mm-hmm. the right, that's a really gorgeous room.
Yeah, that's our Beamsdorfer Concert Hall. That's where I say the majority of events happen.
Okay.
Lots of classical music concerts and intimate, you know, ensemble concerts and things like that that our faculty and staff are doing. They're just, it's just a really warm, rich space. So it's very fun to be in.
Now, how are you deciding who you bring in from the outside to the Winter Center versus the Ware Center? Is this like a group decision mm-hmm. when you're booking things with Harvey or?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, Harvey and I work really well together, thinking through the calendar and just sifting through all of the things that are coming our direction. Our expert faculty are also a great resource. So we're pulling in their ideas and bouncing ideas off of them. And we've got incredible students who work in this building. We have almost 40 students working in this building and another, I think, 10 that are doing internships between the Winter and the Ware Center. And we put them on big projects and we're saying, hey, if you were going to do a singer-songwriter series, who would you bring? Who would you want to see? Let's find the talent that's within Millersville, within Lancaster, within the region, and then, you know, maybe nationally. Let's get something going that you want to see happen. So we're really extending that arts administration skill set to them and helping them build their resume. And, you know, if they want to continue in this industry, help them find a job.
That's great experience.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, and they've got great ideas. I mean, they blow us out of the water for ideas. I mean, they're just coming up with stuff all the time. We've got students who are social media experts, so they're taking care of our Facebook page and, you know, our Twitter feed, and they are just doing great.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, a conversation with Laura Kendall, the director of the Winter Center, Millersville University's main campus visual and performing arts center. You've been here for a year, and the Winter Center's been open for, well, the beginning of the school year, right?
Correct.
Any surprises in this year? Anything that you didn't expect that has happened at the Winter Center that has just sort of blown you away?
Oh, wow. Yeah, tons of stuff. I mean, it's been fun to see how, I mean, we moved into the building, we took occupancy in May, and then we didn't have students again until the fall.
Right.
So we were quiet and, you know, kind of getting stuff ready for them. And it's been so much fun to have the students in the building interacting with the faculty, interacting with the theater department, art and design department, music, you know, all of this creative energy that has been in this building has been so much fun. So that I knew that would happen, but I didn't quite know it would happen on that level. And it continues to grow. So that's been really fun. Millersville University is just a really great place to work. And I've been so impressed with the openness of the faculty, the level of expertise that they have here, mm-hmm. and the incredible amount of focus on the students and student learning. It's just really, you know, all about the students, kind of how do we get them from A to B, and then to what they want to do with their life. So that's been really fun to be a part of.
Let's talk about your background a little bit. Where were you before the Winter Center?
I came from Cleveland, Ohio. That's not actually where I'm from. I'm from Nebraska originally. Okay. But I was spending some time in Cleveland working for a community college that had a huge presenting series and a 10-day jazz festival, pretty famous regional jazz festival. So I was doing all the presenting there. I was booking the artists and working with faculty again, getting mm-hmm. students involved. And that's been a lot of fun, but I missed the four-year University Experience, which is what I was at before in Lincoln, Nebraska. I worked for the Lead Center for Performing Arts. So my career has pretty much been working for performing arts centers on university campuses. So really doing that integration between visiting artists and the campus and actually into curriculum. Like, how do we make that connection between the arts and the artists and what they're learning? So that's what my whole role has been. Opening a building has been new, so that's been really fun.
It's pretty big, yeah.
But I have learned so much and have really enjoyed the opportunity. And, I'm just really, really excited for the next year. We have a new president coming in, Dr. John Anderson, who is just, I think he's going to do great things for the region and for this campus. He's got some great ideas and also really enjoys the arts. He's been to the Ware Center a couple of times already. So that's really great.
Yeah. How did you find out about Lancaster?
Oh, my gosh. This is actually a really interesting story. Lancaster kind of found me in some interesting way. There are amazing connections to my high school in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Is that right?
So my very best friend lives here. So I visited maybe about 5 years ago.
Okay.
She was living here and I'm like, this is kind of a cool town. And she showed me around and I'm like, there's a lot of great stuff happening here. And then didn't think about it until this job came up. And then when this job came up, one of the faculty member, Dr. Christy Branks, who is here in the music department, we went to high school together. I've since met two other people who I knew from my time in Lincoln who are here working in the arts. And there's a couple other kind of interesting Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska connections. So I feel like I'm meant to be here.
Yeah, who'd have known?
I know, it's the funniest thing. But you know what? It reminds me a lot of Nebraska. It's a very tight community, love for the arts, but also family is very important, and the agriculture, the land, you know, it's all very similar. So I feel very much at home.
How have you enjoyed the city itself, besides the college?
Oh, it's fantastic. There's something, First Fridays just is the most fun. I love going down there. I love the energy. The food is great. The restaurants are wonderful. The artists are incredible. There's just this really great community, creative community that I'm really excited to be a part of and to get to know more about, and excited to hear about all the things that you're talking about. So I've been on your blog a lot.
Ah, fantastic.
Finding out what's the thing to do.
At the Wood Stove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Wood Stove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to the conversation with Laura Kendall, director of Millersville University's Winter Center on Around the Wood Stove. What is the future for the Winter Center? Anything planned?
Well, I think the idea is to continue to work closely and bring the Winter and Ware Centers together. So it's more of a cohesive season. We're not competing with ourselves,
sure. More
or less. So we're gonna continue to focus on student artistic projects and activities here. I think the idea is, we will bring in visiting artists, but they'll be working with the students, so you might see some performances, co-performances.
Yeah.
This generation is all about co-creation and being able to express their own creative ideas. And so we're going to continue to find opportunities for them to do that.
That's great. It's a gorgeous space, really wonderful space. Congratulations on a wonderful first year.
Thanks so much.
And best of luck in the future.
Appreciate it.
You can keep up with the Millersville University Arts Program at millersville.edu/muarts. You can also link up from the show post for today's episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.